Boogie Mac, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in the midst of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We are Captain Larry's. We are in the heart of South Baltimore, hon. We're down here on Ford Avenue. I've driven past this place 10,000 times, back and forth over the 20 years I live downtown. Been in here a few times. I've never had a Narragansett beer in here. I always thought it was sort of the house beer because they have this great Narragansett sign out in front from a New England beer. All it's brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have instant lottery scratch-offs to give away. We'll be at Fadley's on Friday. We'll be, I don't want to tell this guy this because I dragged him downtown to eat the legendary Captain Larry's crab cake today, but I'm going to be in Middle River next week. We're going to be at McFalls, at the new McFalls location down the Back River Neck Road corridor, where my guest does things over there. I also need to promote Window Nation, 86690Nation, if you're in the market for windows. I took care of that last summer. It's that time of the year. Mark Miller and Todd Schuler were sponsors of this program for a long, long time. Blondell Miller Schuler is the law firm. I like to think of you as one of my cast of characters in my recurring, like if we had a the Bears skit, you could be on my panel of those kind of guys, being all East North Baltimore as you are. How are you?
I'm great. I'm having a good time.
Todd
like
Schuler, well, you like it because they have Natty Bo here,
yeah,
right?
Baby.
I mean, you know, promote away.
Hey,
I mean, we're
a Natty
fine,
Bo
you know?
In South Baltimore on a beautiful, sunny Thursday. Spring is springing, right?
Well, when you came on the show, we would talk law, we would talk politics, former councilman, recovering politician as well, as an attorney. But, like, your background really in listening to me or knowing something of me isn't even though you're a music guy, sports. It's all racing, baseball, football, and this is sort of the confluence of all that, right? The draft, Lamar, Orioles are playing good, and we are literally a week out on the Kentucky Derby. We're literally inside of a month now on the Preakness being run.
The absolute best time of the year. Absolute best time of the year. I love it. As you know, I have my big Preakness party every year. Everything's ready. Everything's paid for
but
and in place.
You do crawfish.
Horses. We do crawfish because I went to law school down in New Orleans. So a good crawfish boil was always the thing in New Orleans. So we've brought a little bit of New Orleans. We've applied it to our Baltimore
Are there any
scene.
Crabs at this event, or are crabs outlawed?
No, they're not outlawed.
It's just not the day you do
I
crabs.
I don't do crabs on Preakness Day. I do my crawfish on Preakness Day, and it's become kind of a thing. We've got some kids who grew up coming to my party that are crawfish fiends out there, and they have a real good
this
time.
This bubbles so. Up with the Cajun. You do it, like, legit?
Yeah, we do it legit.
Really
we
spicy?
We get it boiled, if I'm allowed. Bill Seafood out in Perry Hall does
You're allowed.
A boil
That's
for
right.
me. Does
he have an oyster? I want to do an oyster stop over at his place.
100%
crab cake stop.
I guarantee he's got some oysters. I'll
All right.
hook you up
well,
for sure.
I'm working
Good
an
dude.
Oyster tour. First 25 days of September, we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of WNST on August 3rd. So beginning September 1, I'm going to do 25 oysters 25 different ways. Not just raw. You know, I want to do different. I'm going to stew,
sure.
soups. You know, fried, all that kind of stuff. But I want to try some new places. So if he's in line, maybe I'll mix some crawfish in there. Crawdad.
Might be able to. He's not a big fan himself, but he does them for me every year.
Did you fall into the crawfish thing when you went to Tulane or no?
Absolutely. I went to college in Mobile, Alabama, and that's really adjacent to the whole New Orleans scene. And then that got big, and we started having the party every year when I got married.
I thought you went to school in New Orleans. You said Mobile?
New Orleans for law school and Mobile in undergrad. I went to a little school called Spring Hill College in Mobile for undergrad.
Really?
And then Tulane.
Were you aware of the Senior Bowl when it happened down there? Did
I
you
was,
feel it?
Absolutely. It was a big deal. It was right when you
I've
were getting back to
I've been to Mobile
to
one
school,
time. I went to the Senior Bowl after. It was the year that Havenstein from Damascus was drafted by the Rams, and it was the year that Aaron Donald was drafted.
Right.
He was the star.
A little after I was there, but
way after.
I was there at T. Martin, so I would have graduated with T. Martin, who was the Tennessee quarterback who actually won the national championship, right? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Peyton never won one,
I saw
right?
T. Martin play in
he was
Tennessee.
A Mobile boy.
I saw T. Martin play for the Volunteers at Knoxville. He was the quarterback when I went. It was in 98 or 99.
He's involved with the Rams
or
somebody?
Yeah,
right?
So he's a Rams coach.
Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Has been
yeah.
for a number of years. I've never met him because I'm not a real media member anymore. Yeah. I don't know if you heard that or not.
You've said so before.
Yeah. I've
but yeah, Mobile boy. So he did well by the town.
Well, Mobile, C.J. Mosley also Mobile connections, and Hank Aaron as well. A big baseball community, Mobile, right?
Very big baseball community. I thought we had some kind of like the oldest college baseball stadium.
Yeah, something,
or
like
something
that.
Like, we had some distinction, and I apologize to the Spring Hill baseball players for not knowing exactly what that was, but yeah, we had something to do with that.
All I know about Mobile is great place to eat food.
It's a little New Orleans, Mobile. It's a little New Orleans.
Mardi Gras started in Mobile.
It did.
See?
Started with Joe
See
King
that?
Day.
I know
yep.
things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Sunday before before Fat Tuesday is still Joe King Day and still probably the biggest day of Mobile Mardi Gras. I think mostly everybody then clears out and goes to New Orleans for a couple of days.
You eat king cake?
Absolutely.
I don't like king cake.
And it's a little too sweet. But you got to celebrate Mardi Gras, even here in Baltimore. And the way to do that is get your playlist ready and you get a king cake ordered and you teach the kids a little bit about their New Orleans heritage, which they have despite me being a Baltimore boy all these years.
I'm an ice cream guy. You know this. Back during Mardi Gras time, my dear friend Chris Piker, who lived in New Orleans, worked for the Saints, he lives two blocks from Captain Larry's. He's really the inspiration for being here. This is his crab cake place, and he can't be here because he's working for the XFL right now. But he loves king cake. And I was just shopping like at a Walmart or something, and I went through the ice cream just to see what they had. You know, Friendly's this, and different kinds of ice cream than what I get at Wise. And I looked up, and there was a king cake ice cream.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
And
king
I thought,
cake flavored.
Yeah, it's a special seasonal. Maybe I'd like that more than the cake, I think.
Maybe so. I don't know. I've never had the pleasure.
King cake, it's overrated is what I would say.
Crawfish underrated, though. Come on out Preakness Day and say hi.
All right, so you want to give me a little Kentucky Derby preview. I had Dick Girardi on the show about 4 weeks ago, right around the time Penn State was in the March Madness, because he's the voice of Penn State. Rogers Forge, you know, local guy, right? He's been running the ponies forever. He brought me up to date, because horse racing's like out in the abyss. You have to go look for horse racing news, right? And Baffert's in my phone, and I didn't realize, like, Baffert can't run in the Derby, but Baffert can run in the Preakness.
You getting Baffert this year? Did you get Baffert last year? I thought you got Baffert last year.
I got Baffert two years ago.
All right.
Well, this is a great Costa story, because Baffert wins the Derby 2 years ago. What was the horse?
You know, I can't remember.
Okay, either way.
The 21 Derby,
because last year he was banned, right?
Right, last year banned.
21 Derby, he wins the Derby. And I text him.
Medina Spirit.
There you go. So I text him the day after the Derby, which is pretty common. You know, we've known each other 30 years. He texts me back. He's like, I want to come on earlier. So because I get distracted next week. He said, so if you want me on, I'll come on anytime you want. Just let's do it earlier. And then knock it out. I said, feels like you'd be busy after Derby. He said, no, I'm good. Let's knock it out. Let's do it. So I think we did the piece maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday of that week. Right?
So right,
2 weeks, right? So we did the piece. It's 40 minutes of him going on about this and that. And we're like, we're carrying on. And then that weekend on Sunday morning, I went over to Costas to like get a crab cake. I was just like there. And I walked in and Mr. Costas is there. And he's like, did you hear what happened to Baffert? I'm like, I haven't been on my phone. It's Sunday morning.
Right, you know? Right.
I looked at him. He got suspended. The horse is dirty. I'm like, what? You know, like, so I got, you know, I have a real horseman over at Costas telling me that Baffert was dirty. And I said, I just had him on a show. It's the lead story on my website right now. It's Bob Baffert in an interview with him. And I think I got the last one.
You might have got the last one before that.
Yeah. Another one after. But I will hit Bob in a couple weeks. But this is unique in that he can run here but can't run in the Derby. And I wasn't aware of that. I became aware of that.
And a lot of the horses now had to make the decision. I think they gave him to some date in February or January when they had to actually transfer.
Well, he had another trainer running him next week, right?
Right. Yeah, right. I think it's Brad Cox, don't hold me to it, that kind of inherited the Baffert horses. But they had to, like, actually make the call.
Was this kind of like when Trump gave all of his businesses to the kid? Or different. No. When he signed,
you said I'm a recovering politician.
I'm just trying to see if it was the same concept of signing over. You know, the paperwork, you know.
His fingerprints are still on the Derby horses.
It's like Mrs. Sure. Angelos owning the Orioles, right?
Exactly.
Sort of a little bit like that. Todd Schuller's here. He's drinking Natty Bo. At some point, I'm going to have a Narragansett since 1890. I've never had a Narragansett. I don't think I'm saying it right. My wife always corrects me when I say things wrong that are New England-ish.
Right.
I say the pronunciation wrong. So I just got back from Maui. I got away. We have an NFL draft. We have a relevant baseball team. And, you know, I guess the Preakness thing's sort of in the balance. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking again about where's the Preakness going to be run. But we're going to have a Derby winner. Give me a little Derby field here, because I know you really love horse racing in this way.
Yeah, what what people don't realize, I'll tell you who's going to win. Right, you know, the horse's name is Forte, and the jockey's name is Irad Ortiz Jr. And the various tracks, the Miami track, Gulfstream, Aqueduct up in Queens, Santa Anita, Fairgrounds down in New Orleans. They all have these feeder races, right?
Keeneland, too.
Keeneland has a couple, and Tampa has a couple, but a lot of them have their own little triple crown, their own little three that run in there. And really, Irad was the jockey coming up in Aqueduct and then later Belmont as the summer wears on. He was the New York jockey and kind of commonly considered growing the best jockey in the sport. And he won the Belmont last year on a horse named Mo Donegal, who had won the Wood Memorial, which is Wood Memorial is sort of the culmination of everything that happens at Aqueduct. So he's on the New York horse. He's in the New York race, and he wins the Belmont. Flash forward a year. Now he is the name. And Forte won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile back when he was a two-year-old back in October. And he's come in the Miami circuit, and he won the Fountain of Youth, and then he won the Florida Derby. And Irad's got that mount. I believe that they have given Irad his triple crown winner, right? He got his triple crown race in the Belmont last year. Now he's got his Kentucky Derby horse. And if they can get past the Derby, of course, he's really going to give him a hard time in the Preakness. I mean, there are others that we can talk about. Flavian Pratt is on a horse that won the Arkansas Derby. The Tappet Trice is the one that won in Keeneland the other day. Louis Saiz probably won more Derby prep races than any jockey, so he's a guy to look out for. And then, of course, the Santa Anita circuit, the horses that come out of California in the last 15 years or so have really kind of dominated on the Triple Crown. Like, that's kind of become the anchor out there. So what's in Practical Move is the name of that horse, a jockey named Vasquez. But I believe that Forte will go off as the betting favorite. I don't think anybody's going to make any money on Forte.
That'd be 5-2, 2-1 like that.
It feels that way. The other three mentioned are probably, you know, the
4-6 to 8-1. I mean, it's a huge field, though, always, right?
It's a 20-horse field, and so, you know, I'm telling you Forte is going to win, but anything could happen because the horses are bumping into each other. The horses are running into
and
traffic.
You can draw,
you can get stuck.
Sure.
It can be miserable.
And weather.
But more the Derby than anything, I mean, just the crowd of the field favors the chance of something crazy happening. So if it's an 8-horse field, I think Forte's winning that race all day. Anything can happen. And I don't know, you know, but I'm betting that. Rocket Can is a horse that won the early races in Miami before Forte started running down there. It's a great colt. That might be the kind of horse that gets you like a 15-1, 20-1 that could actually win the thing.
Have you been to Gulfstream since they fixed it up?
No, I've never been
to
Gulfstream.
It's beautiful.
I don't go anywhere except for Essex. I go from
Gulfstream, like what that used to be and what it is now. When you go there and see it, you feel for what the Preakness could be, and you also feel that, like, they're going to steal the Preakness and take it to Florida and, like, all of that stuff that we talk about with the Maryland legislature and getting this thing built over, you know, by Sinai Hospital, right? Like, at some point, the race has to take on that sort of a thing. And when you go and see Del Mar, when you go and see what they've done at Santa Anita, when you see what they've done at Gulfstream, if you see what they've done at Churchill
and the expansions that they're making in Dubai and Japan, like, if you write the epitaph for horse racing and then decide not to invest in Pimlico, then you've created a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like, why not recognize that horse racing is actually viable? It was the dirty sport, right? Boxing's back, right? That was the dirty sport because gambling was involved, and now
got a Baltimore champion last
official
week
gambling partners of Major League Baseball and the NFL and the NBA. So that's all done now, right? We can micro gamble, you know, the in-game sports.
But dude,
when I
have guests on who are journalists and they tell me that it's the dirtiest sport and Baffert is walking away from this and doping horses and the things are running horses into the ground. The notion that this Triple Crown, and we talk about this every year, 2 weeks and 3 weeks, it's unnatural for the animals. It's very unnatural for the owners and the Arab money and all these people investing millions of dollars into these foals. that they would want to beat these horses up, but there comes a point, much like draft night in the NFL, if you're Joe Douglas and you don't get Aaron Rodgers, you ain't going to draft next year.
Right?
Yeah. So, you know, it's like the song says, Dan Fogelberg, you know, run for the rose. You get one chance.
One chance.
It's Saturday. It's in May. It's happening. This is the week.
And everybody else is there to beat you.
And, you know, for Baffert to get caught cheating and to be the Lance Armstrong of the sport, right?
It hurts. But Tom Brady was clearly
cheating at 45. He was the clear, the cream, whatever. But if the NFL would have outed him and said, Tom Brady's been cheating to play the way Roger Clemens did,
we're not going to let it happen to us like it happened to baseball.
But horse racing, it's built in.
And the gambling aspect of it, and everybody, you know, the guy that's in the horse racing is, your old uncle in the wife beater t-shirt with the spaghetti stain down the front of it, right? Like, that's the look of the people hanging out at Timonium. But to your point, like a Gulfstream and a Saratoga, you know. Like
I went to Saratoga since the last time we talked. Did you know that?
Damn, you do everything, you know.
Like, I went to Saratoga before the plague. This is like 3-4 years ago. It wasn't the weekend of the Travers. It was after that. I went up to see Hootie and the Blowfish play SPAC up there. And no offense to Royal Farms Chicken, which is delicious. Best piece of chicken I've ever had in my life. Hattie's Fried Chicken in Saratoga, if you ever go up there.
All right,
Google it. It's huge. It's a thing. It's a real thing. I'm craving it right now. I'm going to go to Rofo. I got one right down here, Ford Avenue. The Saratoga thing is another experience that, and you can go see my pictures and videos. I made one that day. When you go up and see that, you see the possibility for how great this could be.
I've been to Churchill. I mean, the same thing. Like, wow, what is this? Like, how come we don't have the? How come we have to? I'm at the Black Eyed Susan last year, and there are boarded off seats. You know,
Of course.
And again, I think it's that self-fulfilling prophecy that this is never going to work. This is never going to work, right? Where's the money? Where's the Maryland money? Where's the city money? You know, like let's save this.
It's important.
We have something special. We have Preakness in the Schuler House is the high holiday of the year. When the Christmas lights come down, we start planning a Preakness party. And when we're mopping up that Sunday, you know, cleaning up the beer cans or whatever, and the crawfish shells and everything, we start planning Christmas.
You saw I found that Preakness glass up in Shrewsbury that day that I
sent
that to you, right? What year did you already have that one?
You got to come by the office.
I took a picture for you. This was the 75 and the 76 Preakness cups, and they were this is $40, right? The ticket right on there. So I didn't know if that's a good looking glass. That 75 Preakness glasses. That's a Woodlawn vase right there.
Well, they didn't do them until 74, so that's really the second year they did them.
I don't know how much that one is. Looks like it's a little bit more. I don't know.
But another thing, like, why can't I get those?
You have that one?
Yeah. We actually, in the office, we have displayed, like, 73 through 2000.
You have every one?
Yeah. I got to pick up the last 20 years.
That's why when I saw these, I thought maybe you didn't have them. So that's why I asked. All right. Good enough.
But why can't I get those? I love those glasses. And my buddy Slinky, when we grew up, we'd go to Slinky's house and we'd drink our milk out there. His parents always went to the Preakness.
I always wanted a friend named Slinky. How did you get
Slink's
one?
Slink's the man. I don't know. Where are you at, Slink? Give me a call.
Come on, Slink.
But you'd go to Slinky's house, get the glasses. So now my kids, they know to drink out of Preakness glasses. Like, you know, they're very careful.
I saw girls get caught
all the time. Yeah, you got to go to eBay. But my point is, you go into Churchill, there's a gift store with every year of, you know, that they've been doing the Kentucky Derby glasses. If you go into Royal Farms, whatever the equivalent is out there in Louisville.
Probably a Speedway there.
You buy a 4-pack from like February on, you can just get a 4-pack of the glasses for $12 or whatever it is. We have to go to Pimlico on the day of the race to hopefully get some crappy, whatever they're calling the Black Eyed Susan drink, which has been like a whiskey sour, but it's also been purple and it's also been pink and it's always a different recipe. And they slap that crap in there, and that's how you got to get your glass. Why can't we go to? Why can't a place like Captain Larry's right here, you know, get them in advance and either have a promotion where you
celebrate Preakness,
drink them in julep and keep
it
your
is
glass.
Our event. I mean, over 31 years doing radio, there's nothing to say. Well, I mean, the Orioles have been pretty screwed up. I mean, you know, when you're talking about taking something that was great and completely effing it all up, the Preakness is one of those things. It's coming here again. And I just, Like, I just want to breathe life into it in some way.
Where is, like, the decision-making class of the town? I mean, not just the politicians at the state level or city level, the influencers, you know, like,
I have
the
no
small
influence.
Business
I'm a former
owners.
Media member.
I'm just saying we all need to get behind this thing or we lose it.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Todd Schuller's here. He gets behind things and gets behind people at Blondell Miller Schuller. Give me a typical, you're in Essex, typical thing. I always think about this. At some point, I'm going to get rear-ended. I'm going to get hit, right? I mean, we all drive. I want to be macabre, but, like, at some point, there's going to be an accident.
Yourself.
And I've already got a back issue and, like, whatever. People call you because the man's trying to screw them. And I'm familiar with this because I have a billionaire sitting on my chest as a media member. So people with money, insurance companies, I mean, you battle for Essex and East Side people who have something awful happen to them, and sometimes it's a work-related issue, right?
Folks are hurt at work. Folks are hurt by other people's negligence, and invariably on the other end of that.
Oh, I got a beer. Go ahead. Let me talk about this. Hold on. Go ahead. Is this a real Narragansett? Hi, neighbor. Have a Gansett. So I'm going to have you teach me about Essex law. It says, Made on Honor, the official beer of the clam.
I think you should shotgun.
It's official
it.
Beer of the clam, it says.
Do we have a pair of scissors back there?
Hold
I think
on.
Just shotgun.
No. I'm not going to be like that chick down in Maryland. I'm not going to do all that. Too old for that. All right. To honor the Preakness beer you and I never had in the infield when I was wearing Grape Smugglers back in the 80s, a Narragansett to a Natty Bow here at Captain Lars. So what do you do?
So, you know, the insurance company in that situation has lawyers, really good lawyers, lawyers that are friends of mine, lawyers that I know, right? But most people don't file a claim. They try and handle it themselves. They get bought off on the cheap. They get swept under the rug. And then most people that hire lawyers might get a lawyer that doesn't particularly do workers' comp that frequently, doesn't particularly do auto that, or they churn them and they churn them.
Or they're going to get you $50,000, and that sounds like a lot, except you're never going to walk right the rest of your life, right?
Exactly.
Or whatever, right?
You have to. Our philosophy, and it comes from your old buddy Mark, we believe we get the best results when we go to court. And when we prepare from day one for the fact that we're going to be in court. If it's going to settle, great, but it's going to settle on our terms because we're going to be ready for court. We're playing offense. It's
right.
An excellent way to put it, right? And so I
want my lawyer to be, no offense, a prick. I mean, no offense. That's
well,
what
very
I want.
Nice. I'm very sweet.
Well, I like you.
I'm going to get what I'm going to get, right? And I've seen Mark walk out of mediations in 5 minutes because we're not going to talk about things on the terms that the insurance lawyers want to talk about them. You know, he sets his number. I set my number. If we don't get our number, we're going to court. And not a lot of our colleagues, respectfully, go into it with that mindset. Not a lot of them are approaching it with, we are going to court, and if we happen to settle, great. You know, a lot of them hope to get them, settle them.
It's not a pain in your butt to go to court.
No, it's what we do. And it can be fun. You know, we lose. We go and lose. I mean, it happens, but you got to be ready to get bloodied, right? Nobody can fight unless they're willing to take an ass whipping, right?
Right.
Like, so we can fight because we've taken ass whippings and we've given ass whippings, you know?
Right.
Like, and we're not really afraid of the guy on the other side, no matter how big he is, you know? If he's going to whip my ass, great, but I'm not taking his crappy settlement offer. And so that's the approach we take. We believe we give a superior product because of that philosophy. We also answer the phone ourselves. We don't have paralegals managing cases. You know, the paralegals handle stuff, but we're the guy you talk to. And that sets us again apart. You know, we're a little Essex law firm that's been there for 40, 50 years. We have folks that work in our office. We have one that just celebrated her 40th anniversary. In August, we're celebrating a 50th anniversary. Mark's been there 30 years, and he's, I think, the fourth or fifth most tenured member of our 9 or 10-person staff. So we have the institutional knowledge to handle these things. We have the lawyers that aren't afraid to go get results, and we're proud of what we do.
All right. Well, I'm in Middle River next week at McFalls, and I'm going to get the name right. Oyster and Reel. Have you been to the new location down there?
It's the old Sioux Island.
I've not been
there since then, but I'll try and pop down.
All right. Well, we're going to be there next Thursday. That's your side of town. But I'm so pleased you came out before the Derby to do all this. So give me a little sports primer on you for Orioles, Ravens. You're in a mixed marriage with a Cleveland wife.
Yeah.
I'm in a mixed marriage with a Boston, you know, wife as well. This baseball season and this kind of a start, and at heart, we're all baseball people. I mean, at heart, any guy that has your color of hair and where I am in my life, we didn't have the Ravens like at the beginning.
No.
This is what we had. We had the baseball team. To see this sort of resurgence on the field, and I've been in Maui 10 days watching it, and I did the show with Luke on Monday from Maui. Sunday, there were all the kids out there.
It looked great, didn't it?
And I just wanted to say this, and I'm not being a prick, but I don't have pictures of me out there as a kid. Now, they did a signature day when I was a kid where, like, Doug DeSensei would sit at third base, you know, and,
sure.
and you would... You like the Ravens do.
Elrod Hendricks was always in the bullpen.
Right. But I mean, getting an autograph or whatever. But I'm talking about running the bases was something I never did at Memorial Stadium. I won pitch, hit, and run up at Utz-Tortowitz Field in Patterson Park when I was 10 or 11 years, 78. I was 10 years old. I won pitch, hit, and run. I got to go to Memorial Stadium and hit from the – I didn't win there. I mean, somebody good won.
Right.
But I got to do it.
I got to do it. Hell yeah.
It was the only time other than being a reporter – that I was, like, involved on the field. I wasn't in the Brooks Robinson game or the Crown Gasoline game or any of that stuff. But these kids, my friend Greg Sapaniak's running around with his kids, lots of people. And I'm in Maui looking at this, and they're like, everybody's having, and there were 38,000 people there, and then they won. It was exciting, and they were getting no hit and, like, all that. And I think that is something to build upon, right, for the organization. And I know there weren't a lot of people there Friday and Saturday. I know there weren't people there, and they're playing lesser competition.
They're picking up.
But they're winning, and the winning gets people, they sniff it, they radar it, they know when the game's on, they know the players, they want to root for Mateo, they want to find a favorite Oriole. For your kids, for anybody who hasn't experienced Brooks and Boog, or let alone Cal and Eddie, or maybe even Delman Young, you know what I mean, over the course of years, this is a fresh thing for young people, but for old people, we're like, I want something. I'm a sports fan. I want to grab onto something. This is what I'm missing. But this kid that owns the team on third base who thinks he hit a triple and mouthing off and, like, they're still rudderless from an ownership standpoint for me.
Well,
to say for what they can sell tickets and make the community love them. Buying baseball players, okay, they've done that so far. But getting it right with people, I don't know. I'm waiting on that. I'm waiting on that part.
The fear is that they maybe he knows exactly what he's doing because he's got no stadium lease and he's got no payroll, right? Like, he's sellable as it is, right? And he's movable as it is. So,
well, that's terrible.
That he's got.
That's terrible. And but we should all talk about that.
We should all talk about that because realistically, it's a possibility, and it might come down to attendance.
Well, you know
it
what?
Might come down to the buy.
He's going to open his books. He said so, right? So once he opens his books, well,
that's
no.
Like,
you don't think he's going
to
open
Transportation
his books.
Day? If you want to go back to the or Transportation Week in the Trump administration,
right? Yeah, right? I mean,
that's coming next week.
But this speaks to at the soul of who this guy is. This guy has a press conference on Martin Luther King Day, doesn't even live here, and pretends that it's something it's not, and then says I'm going to open my books, and then doesn't open them, and. You want me to support your baseball team. You want me to come down there. But as a sentient, thinking person who has watched Camden Yards get built, watched us lose a football team, watched us lose a basketball team, who's covered this professionally, I'm still very Missouri on their capabilities as a business to do this the right way.
Well, his dad gave me a job in law school, and if you'd have seen my grades in law school, you have to at least be grateful for that. So I won't badmouth the Angeloses, but there is so much potential, like you say. It goes back to the Pimlico, right? And what they are talking about, you know, utilizing all that parking lot space and you know, building the lots up and maybe putting a music venue, maybe even residents. So like they can use that area between the stadiums, really make something magical happen. And more, you know, update the ballpark, obviously, to include more common space. I would love to see just maybe 3 feet forward home plate. Why aren't we tagging that warehouse yet? It's been too long. It's been 30 years. Nobody's
They moved the fence back, dude. Stop.
I want to get closer to that
They started
warehouse.
Winning.
I want to get closer
you
to
know,
that warehouse.
I saw Mike Elias do...
David Ortiz never hit that warehouse. Come on. Chris.
I saw Mike Elias do the CEO luncheon about 2 weeks ago before I left for Maui. And it's the only time I've been in a room with him. He was very magnanimous, gave him copies of my book. He wrote me a note. He said, thank you, you know. great.
Looks the part, but feels the part.
He sat in front of the room. He was very impressive, and he was very, very impressive. He was. I mean, I've been around sports executives my whole life. I know bullshitters from not, right? He's up there doing his thing, and he was so honest in front of this group in a way that, like, they moved the fence back. Well, I'm a smart guy. I mean, Mike Messina's a friend, right? No one would sign here. Pitchers didn't want to sign here. And he just was honest about it. All that BS about architecture and this and that and, yeah, we're moving the fence back. We don't really want to talk about what. No, we can't sign pitchers. I mean, like, yeah. And he said it out
but
loud.
But you could see it in Mountcastle's face, you know, like, what the hell
but am
I
think
doing
there's
here?
A point here when they need pitching, and they're going to need better pitching than what they currently
they're
have.
They're going to need
They're going to need better pitching. That not just growing them, like, the Ravens in this crazy offense they've been running where they can only draft a wide receiver because they couldn't get anybody to sign up for it.
Right.
And Odell Beckham, they paid him a little bit of a premium to sign up, premium. Not knowing who the quarterback is. But these circumstances where the team moves the fences back, has the citizens pay for it, at least be honest. We're trying to get premium
free
agent pitchers.
Absolutely.
And this would make it more attractive. Okay, that's a great reason. Just sell it to me that way. Don't BS me. You know, but finally, a year and a half after they moved the fence back, I saw the general manager literally come clean and say,
This is why we did it.
And that's great. That's strategic. That's smart. Doing things that are a little outside the box and explaining to me how it works without BSing me or having to pull the wool over my... That's good business.
Right.
That's what they should be doing more of.
And locking up some young guys, for God's
and
sake.
And not signing pitching in the offseason, not getting the team better, and now the team's here and it's good. So,
real fun to watch.
So maybe you go out and deal for a pitcher later in the summer. Maybe you deal some of these young guys we hear about in Norfolk and whatever. And all of that would take a sour guy like me and make me believe again. But it doesn't make me believe again when the owner comes out of the closet, born on third, hitting a triple, yelling at the media, offering to open it, lying that he's going to open his... I mean, that's not a good look. That's not a fresh look for John. It really isn't.
And
that worries me now that they're winning, that how... Are they going to be good at winning?
I sure hope so, right?
I mean, they weren't good at winning the last time. They didn't sell tickets and suites. They didn't help their business dramatically having been in the playoffs 3 out of 5 years. And they were really good from 12 to 17.
Well, you let your stars walk, too, in that, right?
And the, Machado, and, they signed
and
Davis.
They signed Davis. And I,
Jonathan Scope was here last week.
He looked great. And he didn't really look great, but it was great to have him
back.
I
was the guy on the radio saying, give me 80 million, give me 80.
Yeah, I'm
that idiot, right?
I cheered on the Davis signing because it was a sign that they were spending money at least, you know, and it turned out to be an anchor around him that probably cost us Machado, but it felt good.
Oh, I got Moeller on record saying, if they don't sign Chris Davis, I'm done or whatever.
Right.
Whatever, all that, you know. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, they say people that are Oriole fans that have been in the last 5 years, they're never going away. That's fine. That's fine for the people that are never going away. Ed Lauer goes down there. I have friends that have been engaged through all this process. Now the time, and I've been engaged enough to pay attention, but engaged in going down there is different.
Well, another thing that hurts is Masson's contract with the cable companies. Some brilliant lawyer, right? It's the Bobby Bonilla of contracts, right? Of TV contracts, because they're exclusive to the cable companies. And how many people... even in their 40s, especially in their 20s and 30s, don't have cable and don't have variety, you know, like, and so...
I have cable and I don't want it.
There would have been, I do too. I have it because of Masson, you know, and I dare say as soon as Masson can have an app that I could buy for $15 a month or $25 a month, I might ditch cable, you know, like, but they're locked in.
And we're back to Super TV, are we?
We are. we're taking everything a la carte, and it'll all come back in full circle, and there'll be a bundling package called Comcast, and you'll be able to get it all back again. But how many people have we lost? Forget the experience of going to the game, but they can't watch it on TV. And that's just a lucky decision on the part of Comcast and
this
Verizon.
This makes it even more important that they're not pandering to Ed Lauer and Don Moeller, and they're finding people like me who want to go, who want to be a part of it, and not treat them poorly. You know what I mean? Not as a media member, as a citizen, as an influencer and former media member. Like, I will smell it when I see it. When I see people who haven't been going go
right.
and go back
and have,
and have a good time
watch.
And are okay with the $17 beers and are okay with the ticket, with whatever the experience is, but it's, it was painful for me to sit in Hawaii and watch them win and see nobody at the ballpark and saying basically, oh, I told you so, because T.J. Brightman's running and he didn't have his, there was ass from his elbow, and John Angelos comes in and who's making it better off the field? That's my question.
What we saw on Little League Day was a win, right?
I gave them all the props in the world because you and I don't have pictures of us doing that there because they were so arrogant. At that point in the world,
they didn't need us. Right, right. But they got us. I mean, when I was a kid, like you said, Cal hit third, Eddie hit fourth. You could pencil that in.
But I don't have any pictures of my kid on the field even in 1993, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. My kid was born in 84. My kid was 8 years old when Camden Yards opened. My kid would have loved to run the bases in 93, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, Cal Ripken, he's too good for – this is too good for you. There was always – once Camden Yards opened – and then Angelos bought the team, it's us and them. We're the elite. You are the fans. Stand in line. Buy a ticket for the autograph. You know, there's a lot of that that's going on. And players that don't live here. I mean, I have Mike Borda coming out next week. By the way, next Saturday, I want to give a shout-out. On Derby Day, we're going to be up at Adam's Jeep in the morning for Chesapeake Feline Association adopting beautiful cats. I missed our cat so much. She loved me all up at 4 in the morning. We got home today. So we're going to be doing that up at Adam's Jeep. And Mike Borda's going to be signing some autographs up there. And I want to give some love to Borda. And I know he does the FM thing, and he and I are like friends in the real world. There haven't been enough Mike Bordas over the last 30 years. People that play here, settle here, live here, a part of here, yeah, ambassador for here. I mean, Ben McDonald's great at doing the baseball games.
Adam Jones was a big Oriole guy.
He married a Baltimore girl, yeah, and he doesn't live here, right?
I got you, but
there is
Markakis,
a part.
Markakis live, might still live not very far from me.
Well, A.J. Burnett.
Burnett's right around the corner from me, but we couldn't get him to sign here.
Because we didn't move the fence in.
I could carpool with Burnett, but we couldn't get him to sign here.
But that's my...
Because we didn't move the fence
in. Look, if A.J. Burnett walked in here right now, nobody would know him. Literally, right? I'm talking about the ambassadorship. You mentioned Elrod. My God, right?
He was a saint, right? Rick Dempsey, right?
Mike Bordick's becoming... an Elrod kind of a character at this point. But he's the only guy that came, BJ Suroff married a girl, but came and stayed.
BJ needed Hopkins and loved Hopkins and was an angel that way.
Of course.
You know,
like. No, but I'm saying they don't. Adley Rutschman's not going to live here.
Nah.
I know that right away.
Right,
Gunnerhead, none of these guys are ever going to be a real part of the community. So they're really selling smoke and mirrors in that way.
That's okay.
In that way.
If Adley plays here for the next 10 years, I don't care where he lives.
I'm hearing you loud and clear, but these teams that used to say Baltimore on it and it meant something,
right.
It'll never be that way again. Therefore, they need to be even better at getting you to buy the Orioles Christmas ornament and have them be a part of your family in the way that we felt it. And this is their opportunity.
Johnny U was another Baldwin, Maryland, 21013 guy, if I could plug.
For life.
You know? Yeah. Well, in his latter years, yeah, absolutely. I'd drive by.
Showing up at Towson games. Being
it's
present.
Send Melvin a kid
Moore.
To Calvert Hall when I was at Calvert Hall.
Yeah, Melvin Moore is another guy that's here.
Moore was
And present, right? So just being present is something. None of us expect that from the baseball
Arthur
team and the football
Rhodes,
team anymore.
Didn't
right?
he live here, right?
He did for a while.
By Hunt Valley Golf Course.
Yeah, absolutely.
He
when he left the Oakland A's and he was doing all that.
Yep.
Finding people that settle here, I'm not expecting that. So that's all the more reason that T.J. Brightman has to work harder.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying with the baseball team right now.
Send the bird to schools. Let's go. You know, like.
What are they going to do other than we'll win and y'all will just come back? Because that's not really true.
It's not.
They lived on that
help.
For a long time.
It'll help. Winning will help. We got to bring people back from the winning.
Well, they're winning.
We
got to
shake people out of their COVID funk. Like I say, I'm up there, you know, in the North County. I'm just glad to be down in South Baltimore in Locust Point, right, having a natty bow. Like, I parked my car, and I was like, look at this. What am I doing? And I got, you know, young kids
you
or whatever.
You love the city.
I love it.
You
I love
the
this
city.
Town.
I know you do.
I love this town. I love this neighborhood. I love the feel of it. I love the electricity.
Doors are open.
Yeah.
Springtime.
Yeah.
Draft day. Orioles almost in first place.
Not
they would
even
be if
screens.
It weren't for this damn Tampa Bay Rays.
Damn Tampa Bay Rays.
Well,
right?
That goes back to there's nothing better than a strong start.
There's
no matter what Tampa does the rest of the way, that start will get them through the rough. And there'll be rough times. It's a baseball season.
Yeah,
they're not
going to
win 13 in a row every day.
No. But it feels good, again, from the Orioles perspective, to stack a couple, to be able to endure, you know.
They only beat the bad teams. They're going to play the good teams now.
Yeah.
I think the pitching's a problem for them. And
it'll catch up.
That needs to get better.
They need a horse, you know. They have good pitching, but they need a horse. And maybe the bullpen picks up with some of these guys coming back.
Bullpen's been better. Bullpen's been great.
They've been great. But now they're going to add guys with a little more proven track record, like a Dylan Tate and who's the other guy I'm missing that used to close games? It's still a few weeks out. I don't know. You got the pressure.
Move along. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I think they'll pick that up, and they have the pieces to deal. I mean, there are, like you said, guys in AAA.
Well, they have a farm system they could deal from if they're galvanized to win this year, if they feel like they can.
Or even major league players, you know, like what's a guy like, what's a shortstop? He looks great.
Mateo.
Mateo looks fantastic. Like, you could package Mateo. And
That's my guy.
I love watching him. I'm a Ramon Urias guy, you know, but he's a guy potentially blocking, you know, a Jordan Westbrook or somebody like that, that they might say, hey, here's a major league guy that's electric and doing great stuff.
The thing we have as we enter Derby week in the Preakness and even post-draft, this is a compelling baseball team. I guess that's the whole conversation. It's compelling. How compelling it is will be viewed in the city, for the city, in the stadium, for downtown, with people coming to support it.
It could be
the most important thing. That's why I did Free the Birds.
Right here. We're at the precipice of the greatest summer of our lives, right? We don't know it yet, and we have to make it happen.
Well, the CFG Bank Arena's got Janet Jackson next week, and Anita Baker, and just had Adam Sandler. Brian Adams is coming, and Kiss. And
what the hell happened to the arena? I didn't even know it was undergoing a transformation. They booked, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Bruce, and the Eagles, all three back-to-back-to-back. Like, what is that?
You haven't been down yet? You haven't seen it yet?
I haven't been in.
All right, we're going to take you down to a show. It's sort of an interesting thing because it's sort of lipstick on a pig. I've heard that great. They've done, if you had never been there before, it's very respectable. I mean, it really is. And I go to a lot of venues, but it is different. When you walk in and see how dark it is.
You can't see
and the
it,
alcoves. I feel everything about the old place. I'm like, what did they do to my pig? What did they do to it? You know what I mean? But I always loved the arena. So going through it, that I went to the Eagles event, and I did. You know, I'm apparently on Frank Remish's poo-poo list. I didn't get invited to any of the media events. I didn't walk into the arena until I bought the tickets for the Eagles, and that's okay. And I get to walk around but here's the weird thing that happened. My wife and I buy tickets for the Eagles. We wind up sitting down next to the stage. In what used to be lower three, okay?
Got it.
So we're right next to the stage. We're 20 feet from Joe Walsh. I'm looking at the Eagles set list, and I'm thinking, well, I can't pee during Life's Been Good. I can't pee during Rocky Mountain Way. Don't really want to pee during Funk 49, but I got to pee, and it's Funk 49. So Funk 49 comes on, ba-dum, 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 and they're playing, and I'm like, all right, I got to pee. And I run down to go pee, and I went down. I went down, not up.
Right.
There was no down there, right? It was just the floor.
Yeah,
right?
The floor. That's what I
went into what used to be function room 102, 104, 106. Same function room that Bon Jovi gave me a hug in. The same function room that Gene Ubriaco used to do post-game interviews in with me when I was 15 years old. The seats underneath. There was a function room under. You've probably been under there.
I've never been under, but I know what the space you're talking about. Right.
They're just little function rooms under the stands. I went to pee, and I went in there, and I was like, oh my God, it's like a scene out of The Shining. It is this giant, beautiful, modern bar.
Oh, yeah.
With beautiful pictures. They have Led Zeppelin posters from the 70s and Elvis posters and the Beatles up from when they all played the arena. And it's like a lounge area for high rollers, right? But if you're under there, it's a giant, beautiful club bar.
See, if we can
do
this.
And it's beautiful.
We can rip the tube TVs down at Pimlico and put some flat screens up and put lipstick on that thing.
See what they did at Laurel.
Yeah, Laurel's no castle, right? But it's great. You feel awesome. You feel like you're important when you're there. I'm a big Timonium guy these days, too. And they're doing better and better. You know, we've been into the Knicks grandstand together, right?
Give Tommy some love over there.
Absolutely. But Tommy needs a bigger footprint in that place, right? He needs that whole grandstand level, right?
But what they've done down there is what you could expect a big league organization to do, and they're backing it up. This is what I mean with John Angelos, right? It's one thing to say, well, we're winning. That's not good enough, because it used to be more about the community, and it used to be a lot more than just we win. That's arrogant. That's arrogant. But the CFG Bank Arena, they put all this money into it, and then they say, okay, now we're going to back it up by booking Janet Jackson, John Mayer, Kiss, like on and on and on, all the bands, Springsteen, all that. Now it's incumbent upon us to go down there.
Agreed.
And that's a price point issue, right?
Right.
Whether I don't know what Janet Jackson is going to cost me, I'm going to try to go next week. I love Anita Baker. It's Mother's Day. I'm assuming it's going to be a tough ticket. You now see it get better, but you have to pay for that premium.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you want John Mayer to come, John Mayer's not going to be $45.
Right.
It's just not. It's nice to have John Mayer in town, but John Mayer's $200, and that's what John Mayer is.
It's also, yeah, price point, but also for me, like, again, 12-year-old, 10-year-old, like, it's a scurrying down past the Little League fields and, you know, getting into town and doing something other than, you know.
Just try to get him into the Orioles is all you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Then they'll drag you down to Oriole games.
Yeah. Those are an easier sell than a concert, for sure, but, you know.
Right. Well, Todd Schuller's here. Blondell, Miller, Schuller. If you get in an auto accident, if you get hurt at work, this is a guy who can help you, along with my lifer friend, Mark Miller, who he's in cahoots with down there in Essex, as they say.
Amen, yeah.
Anything in Essex? You got any Essex love for me? Anything to say?
Oh, man, Essex, I tell you what, you know, just like the city, Essex is, it's you know.
When's Essex Day? Coming back?
Boy, it's coming up a couple weeks,
June?
Right? Yeah,
okay.
June, yeah.
All right.
But it's a cool little town. I mean, our renovation alone on Eastern Avenue, you know, we just got an award from the Chamber of Commerce for putting money into our building. And like, yeah, then the neighborhood.
You guys were so miserable when they were doing that, weren't you?
we were great. No, it was so thrilling. It was such a good thing to be a part of because, again, the neighborhood behind us is lovely. The neighborhood on the other side of the Eastern Avenue is lovely. And Eastern Avenue, like, doesn't have the look, you know?
I have a friend
like,
that lives two blocks from you on the other side of Eastern, across the street, behind Jennings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, by Woody's Dock Bar.
Yeah, She shared
spot.
Sunday is steak night at Woody's. I know this because I'm friends with Brandy, so yes.
They're another like business in our area that is taking the time to renovate and to put a good product
next time
out there
we get together, we'll go to Woody's, all right?
All right.
You get a lot of things at Woody's. You probably get a Natty Bo, but you can't get a Narragansett. We're down here at Captain Larry's. Mara is going to be our final guest. There's a rumor that you're getting some crab cakes for your family. There's a rumor I'm getting some crab cakes. Chris Pike is not here. Vicky August is not here. They're my two dear friends who love this bar, invited me down here on St. Patrick's Day. I've come by many times. I've been in here maybe 5 or 6 times over the years. And the Narragansett sign out in front is so unique to it that I always thought maybe Red Sox fans gathered here. But no, they're real Baltimore people here, even though I'm drinking the official beer of the Clam. That's hilarious, isn't it?
A lot of ways you could go with that.
Yeah, a lot of ways you could go with that. Schuller's going to be having his Preakness party at his house if you want to go.
Stop on by.
They'll have crawfish there. Doesn't make any sense. But he went to school in New Orleans, so I guess it makes sense to you. Nothing crab related. Leonard Raskin, I could not bring this crab mallet. I could open beers with it, right? But I would not have any crabs at a Schuller Preakness.
Well, we'll have out-of-towners always come in, so maybe like Black-Eyed Susan Knight, you know.
I've never had a proper crawfish in like a boil. I've never done that
in
my life.
You've got an invite.
Is it legit? It's really good, like as good as if I went to New Orleans.
It's fun. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You boil them the way that.
Absolutely. Billy doesn't
I'm just
cut
asking.
Corners,
I don't know,
you know?
Anything like, about this.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Bite the head off it?
You suck the head. You break it apart. It's a twisting motion, and then you can kind of push the tail out. You can feel like a lobster, like a mini lobster.
I feel like when these hill people come down from Pennsylvania, and we show them crabs, and they look at it, and they're like, I'm not touching that.
Yeah, you feel like one of them. Yeah,
yeah, no, yeah, I feel a little bit that. I feel...
You'll live a little.
I feel intimidated in the way when I see people walk into Fadley's where I'm going to be tomorrow, and they see a crab and they don't know what to do with it.
Right,
like,
right.
I feel that way about a crawfish a little bit. I really don't know what to do with it.
I'll walk you through it.
I know how to do oysters, though. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and Oyster Tour. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. This guy here, despite his great means as an attorney in Essex, has an opportunity right now to win up to $10,000 right now. So there's your instant lottery ticket. Also brought to you by our friends at WinDonation, 866-90-NATION. Buy two, get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. We're running into May right now. I got my windows last August, and we just got we're opening them again. The windows are open. Down here at Captain Larry's. Spring has sprung. The Derby's this week. We had a great Derby preview with Todd. And of course, 2 weeks from now, the Preakness Steaks will be running in Maryland, and he'll be getting a glass with a subpar beverage, a beverage that's not of the same quality as National Bohemian,
true,
right?
True, absolutely.
All right, man. Love you. Appreciate you. Todd Schuller, my dude, recovering politician, practicing attorney, and beer drinker and philosopher. Is that fair?
Fair enough.
All right, there it goes. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Window Nation. We're going to be tomorrow in Fadley's Friday morning, and then next Thursday in his side of town, Middle River. We're going to be at the is it Oyster and Reel. I want to get that right. McFalls, Oyster and Reel. I'm just getting used to McFalls, Ironside, up near my radio station. We're going to be in Middle River, down back Riverneck Road next Thursday. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, eating crab cakes one at a time. We're Captain Larry's down at Federal Hill. Stay with us.